This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum and thispipelife.com. We thank them for their support of this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
I'm Caleb.
Caleb! Man, the intern is back in studio. How you doing, buddy?
I'm pretty good, man. How are you?
Doing well, man. Doing well. We teased out your return last week.
Yeah.
John David is off doing John David things. What is John David doing?
Tobacco Jesus things, you know.
Did you see, I don't know, I don't know if everyone saw this on Facebook, but he actually posted out that recently he was, and I'm sure he'll share the story on the show next week, but he was somewhere where he bumped into somebody and they turned out, oh, I'm so sorry, Jesus.
And yeah, he's like in a restaurant and the guy bumped into John David and John David turned around and looked at him, and the guy looked at him in the face. He was like, oh, I'm sorry, Jesus.
he realized that he's starting to get into territory that he doesn't feel very comfortable with. And rightly so, in terms of the way that he looks. It may be time.
Slightly blasphemous.
Yeah, slightly. We'll have him on. He'll be back next week to to talk about
it. He'll be a guest with me and Bo.
Yeah, no, you know, he'll... It's always interesting having you on. Of course, you being the intern, the Country Squire Radio intern, the tobacconist in training over at the Country Squire. Long-time listeners know you well, but for if this is people's first time episode, Caleb is filling in for our usual host John David, and we got some great things to talk about. But first, we got to talk about some things going on in the pipe community locally and at large. Now, locally, we have the Jackson Pipe Night coming up October 28th. Are you stoked, my friend?
I'm pretty stoked.
All right.
I probably have to be there.
Yeah, I would imagine that you're
I'll be there.
Yeah. you went to these before you were actually working at the Squire.
I actually won one of them.
That's right. Two years ago?
Yeah, just about now.
Man. All right. Are you even allowed to compete at this point?
No.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Little question of whether or not you're, there's favoritism given that it goes down at the shop.
I highly doubt it.
I mean, you know,
if anything, John David would be like, no, that guy's got to lose.
Yeah, more pressure on him. What are you most looking forward to, man?
A lot of drinks. That's always fun. Lots of food, just a bunch of people, and a good old time.
Yes, of course. It's if you are in the area, if you are not in the area, if you want to make a trek to Jackson, please do it. Again, that's October 28th, Jackson Pipe Night at the Country Squire. But before that... JD and myself are going to be taking a little trip down to the Texas Pipe Show.
Ooh.
Pew, 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 pew. That's right, man. It's going to be a blast. Pop Safari Room, Fort Worth, Texas, October 7th. It is around the corner in the sense that, like, literally by this time next month, it will have come and gone. So, I mean, it's right up here.
Yeah.
I'm stoked, man. Have you ever been to Fort Worth?
I have not. I've never been to Texas other than the airports, and that's just in, like, layover time.
Okay, so that is true.
So,
right?
Like... I've never stepped foot onto Texan soil.
Well, you know, that is it. Being here in Mississippi, when we fly, we always have to fly through other airports.
Yeah.
There is no direct flight.
Nope.
Even if you wanted
Poor Baby Jackson Airport.
Even if you wanted to go to Fort Worth directly, you'd probably have to
You've got
to
go through like
Memphis or something.
Colorado or something like that.
Yeah, something ridiculous. No, but yeah, you're exactly right. Well, the airports at Fort Worth, Texas are absolutely phenomenal, I'm sure are the actual places that are in Fort Worth, including, of course, Pop Safari Room, which we are excited to be there. So y'all make the plans. October 7th, Pop Safari Room, Fort Worth, Texas. We will be there, and we look forward to seeing and hanging out with many of you then. All right. So we got Caleb the intern on. We've got a fun topic that we're talking about, one in which I know a lot of people are curious. Now, you know, we are a pipe podcast, have been for several years. It is our specialty, the expertise. The Country Squire has, from its get-go, been very much a pipe-centric shop.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the last year or so, there has been a rise of cigar presence at the Country Squire. Now, the Country Squire is still very much a pipe shop, always has been. But, you know, there is kind of a rising cigar followship that has been setting up shop inside Country Squire. And I have gotten the opportunity to learn a little bit more about cigars, being in the shop and smoking my pipe and sitting down with some of the, I hesitate to say old hats, but, the experts in that
space. The aficionados.
Exactly. So we get this question from time to time about, I smoke a pipe. I've been in situations in which the pipe was not readily available, but the cigar is. when do I smoke a cigar versus my pipe? And if I'm going to smoke a cigar, what do I do? What kind of cigars are good to pair up with the pipe smoker?
It depends, really. Everybody's palate's different. There's a lot of different things. There's a lot of different pipe tobaccos out there. And that being said, there's a lot of different cigars out there. So for different, like, palates, whereas you like maybe Virginia Perique blends, Latakia blends, aromatic blends, there's kind of cigars that kind of go along with that. As far as that goes, me personally, I actually am recent to cigar smoking myself. It's only been probably since we started having that rise of the cigar community come up in the Country Squire that I've really had to be like, oh, hey, I probably should know about these things that I'm selling so that I can sell them.
I was planning on asking you about this as well. Like, so it really was about, you know, as you kind of had the influx of cigar customers coming in, that's when you kind of started to dabble more yourself.
Right. Yeah. I was not a big cigar smoker before I started working at this.
Where did you begin? Did you just kind of start picking up sticks or did John David kind of advise you?
He kind of advised me. I did kind of do a little bit of my own exploring. I kind of knew the general guidelines of, like, you know, Connecticut, Maduro, kind of in between. And so I started off with more Connecticut or lighter wrappers. And the first one I think I ever had that I really enjoyed was a Camacho Corojo, Camacho, however you want to say it, which was extremely good. And that kind of is what put my foot into the world of cigars. So from there, I went to another employee that we have at the Country Squire, Stephen Blassingame. I was like, hey, man. I don't remember any of the cigars that he mentioned, but I was like, hey, dude, this is what I like. I've had like a cigar or two aside from that. And he's like, here's all these different cigars that you would like.
Oh, wow.
And so I picked a couple of them. I don't remember what they were at the time or right now, but at the time I tried a couple of them and I liked them. That cigar in particular is actually one of the like remaining truest nature to like a Cuban cigar that is like from outside the country. Camacho was given smuggled seeds from the Corojo plant, which they planted in Honduras in a similar climate to where they were planted in Cuba. And so they just kind of perfected the art of manufacturing and growing that leaf. And so now we have the Corojo cigar from Camacho.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So I was like, when I learned that, I was like, oh, cool. I'm smoking a Cuban, but not a Cuban. That's fun.
Hey, I mean, it works. It meets. Yeah.
But that particular cigar is like a kind of medium to full body, which I didn't know that at the time. And it didn't really strike me that much because it was extremely smooth. And it had some like peppery notes to it throughout the entirety of the cigar, stronger on the front end. But then it relaxed from that into kind of a mellow, just creaminess throughout the rest and some slight sweetness on the back end.
So do you find that your enjoyment of a cigar, like the flavors, the palate that you're looking for, I mean, does that fall pretty much in line with the pipe? Or if you're smoking pipe tobacco, are you looking for a different taste than you are with a cigar and vice versa?
For me, my pipe tobacco tastes are all over the board all the time. One day I could be smoking Perique, one day I could be smoking Latakia, the next day I'll be smoking like a cherry aromatic blend. So for me, it's just kind of based on the day. Now I do have my favorites. One of my number one favorite being the Drew Estate Kentucky Fire Cured, which uses a Kentucky Fire Cured leaf, which is a pipe tobacco. So it's a cigar that's got a pipe tobacco leaf in it. That's one of my favorites. So like for somebody that liked Latakia, they would probably lean more so towards a cigar like that because it's real smoky, real hickory-like, kind of more full-bodied, and it's a fantastic cigar.
Does it stand out? I mean, can you really taste the pipe tobacco leaf versus your general cigar leaf?
Oh, yeah. It's the way that they cure it is just completely different because they use the fire with it, so it's not air-cured, and so it's got that real robust smokiness that Latakia pretty distinctly has.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. And then on the flip side of that, something like Perique, I call it the flip side, but they're kind of the two ends of the spectrum as far as like strength, in my mind at least for tobacco. Something like in my experience, a Tatawahe Tattoo. That cigar is very spicy, and though it has some kind of sweeter tones to it, but it's a pretty spicy cigar.
Interesting. Okay. The Perique cigars, I want to say that when we went down to New Orleans, mm-hmm. John David actually came back with like a box of them. Is that right? Because we were storing them.
Perique cigars?
Maybe they weren't Perique cigars. Maybe I'm just assuming that since we were in New Orleans, they were Perique cigars.
I'm not sure. I don't remember. He may have. I don't know. That dude doesn't tell me anything.
The funny thing is we can't.
One of the benefits of working at the Country Squire, you just don't know anything.
We actually came back with like a, we had some that we bought for everybody who was there, mm-hmm. and then we had a lot of leftovers and brought them back in, and they were in the humidor, so they may be up there. I mean, the fact of the matter is the humidor at the Country Squire kind of has become unintentionally or at least unofficially kind of a group humidor for a couple of different people.
Kind of. Not so much anymore. No, now that we have our like locker system,
I know that
is
very helpful.
Incredible,
yeah.
And it's super awesome to be able to have that kind of space for people.
The lockers, though,
before the lockers, yeah, there was just cigars everywhere. Of like, who the heck is that? Who the heck is that?
And if you know, there's still some. If I'm not mistaken, there is still a little bit of remnants of that. If you walk in and look into the top right immediately, then you'll kind of see a hodgepodge of non-sellable items that are all just things.
Just don't sell these.
I may still actually have some pipe tobacco left up there from Italy, specifically 5 years ago.
I don't know if I'd smoke that.
No, I don't know that I would either. But I think
what kind was it?
It was like vanilla.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't touch it.
The thing is, I remember coming back with it, and
it just kind of tastes like cardboard.
It got super dry, and it was just no good. And then
you just got to breathe on it.
That's what they say. But no, it was super dry. And JD, he suggested, he's like, hey, just let's put it in the humidor and see what happens. And yeah. I don't know if it's still there or not. But
probably. It might have found its way to the whatever jar.
I would not be surprised.
So somebody has smoked probably your 5-year-old Italian tobacco.
At least a little bit.
A little bit.
But back onto the cigars. So
yeah.
We got those three. What else? What are other good entry-level cigars for pipe smokers specifically?
Just kind of a general brand to look at if you're just kind of curious, Avo is a great introductory level brand for not only if you're a pipe smoker going into cigars, but if you just never smoked cigars before. Even their stronger cigars that are quote unquote stronger cigars are, to me, kind of fall along the lines of more so medium to kind of lighter, just because the flavor profile versus the actual strength of the cigar ends up in just a really good flavor that's not overbearing. And so the ones that I would highly recommend are the Avo Classic, which is just kind of their staple backbone. That's their cigar, their go-to. And then the Avo Exo, which comes in a little orange tube. That's how we have the one in the Squire. That was also one of my first cigars that I smoked. And it's real, real creamy, real rich and kind of like buttercreamy. It is a really good cigar.
Oh, man, my mouth is starting to water right now.
Another one that I was thinking of and just kind of like brainstorming about it that I recently, in the past couple of months, was introduced to is the Baccarats. They are a actual sugar tip cigar. So Ooh. They've got a real, real creamy, real mild flavor to them. It's got a little bit of bite on the front end of it, like right when you light it, but it mellows out really, really quickly. And it's got that sweet tip on it. So it's a real just kind of like, if you're a big aromatic smoker, that's a really great place to start if you want to start smoking cigars. Because it's got that sweetness that you're used to, but it also has like the flavor and that vibe of a cigar tobacco, which tastes different than a cigar filler will taste different than a pipe tobacco.
Let me ask you, why would you go to a cigar rather than a pipe? I mean, that's the question we got to ask almost like, initially for a pipe smoking audience.
Yeah.
I mean, I know for me personally what the answer would be, but what would you say to people who are trying to kind of wrestle with that? When do you go for one other than the other?
It's just different. It's a different option. It's a different smoking experience. And there's a whole other culture that is behind the cigar community from what I've seen. There's some similarities, but it's a very different culture.
You mentioned the different culture. We've been doing kind of this pipe smoking archetype and like who is the pipe smoker.
Yeah.
And, admittedly, there is some crossover there in terms of the cigar smoker. But there's all other, cigar smoker archetypes themselves.
Oh,
for sure.
For sure.
That don't necessarily fall into at least what you would consider the traditional pipe
the
smoker.
The same as a pipe smoker.
Yeah. I think very specifically, I was just recently rewatching Hellboy 2.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way,
I don't know if I ever saw that.
It's a very underrated film.
Really?
It's quite good.
I thought the first one was underrated.
Right. I mean,
it wasn't bad.
It's unfortunate they're not getting a third one. But, you know, he's a cigar chomping hero.
Yeah, man.
Much like Wolverine. Yeah.
There you go. Schnickety.
Absolutely. So, I mean, like, you know, you're talking about there is the superhero archetype exists for cigar smokers, not so much for pipe smokers. Obviously, there have been pipe smoking heroes.
Well, when you look at kind of, I'm just thinking about it right now, when you look at kind of the heroes that they have, like, munching on cigars all the time, Wolverine and Hellboy, they're kind of like the BA, like, don't mess with them.
Right.
They'll mess you up.
The heavy hitters.
Kind of, yeah, the just edgy, rough and tumble kind of guys who just don't play by anybody's rules but their own. And that's kind of the premise that, or the feel that they give those characters. Whereas, like, in my mind, you'd have, like, a Professor Xavier sitting there in his little chair with a pipe smoking.
Exactly. There's one is a little bit more, and I don't mean to, like, one's more brutish. I don't know if that's the correct word.
I would agree with that.
Whereas the other one is a little bit more thoughtful, a little bit more contemplative.
Right.
So they're different types of heroes. There's different type of archetypes for heroes. And
that
different
just
types
goes
of...
into just the general speaking of some of the differences.
Yeah. Well, okay, so that's the other thing, too, because it's not just for those brutish type of archetypes.
No, by no means.
I mean, cigars have been, you know, very much, you think of wedding cigars, you think of, you know, when the baby is born, you know, the daddy comes in and he gives cigars to everybody, you know. And so, like, there is kind of this joyous, jubilant aspect of smoking a cigar as well. I would make the argument that pipe smoking also has the ability to kind of get into that space as well. I mean, we've seen things. You guys have actually put on pipe bars and pipe tobacco bars at weddings and that sort of thing.
I think there's a distinct difference in the price variation between the two tobacco, I guess, commodities, in the fact that pipe smoking is more casual because it's a cheaper commodity. Whereas cigars are more celebratory because they're a little bit more expensive, a little bit higher end. So, like, at a graduation or a wedding or at having, like, a baby or something like that, you're going to spend a little bit more money because it's like, hey, this awesome thing is happening, so let's celebrate.
Right, right. You could love hamburgers, but let's get the steak.
Yeah.
Not that there's not plenty of steak pipe tobaccos out there.
Right, right.
The reality is it really just comes down to your preference. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not just about what you're doing. Although, I say that. I would argue that there are times in which it makes way more sense, and I'm biased, but to smoke a pipe rather than a cigar. Like, for example, if I'm fishing, like, the cigar seems like a bad thing to have when you're fishing. Whereas a pipe seems like a good thing to have when you're fishing. What I mean by this is that your hands are going to get grubby.
Right.
You know, they're going to get nasty. You're not going to want to, like, you know, you can grab the pipe even if your hands are grummy, you know, crummy and got, you know, fish guts all over it.
Yeah.
But you don't want to grab a cigar like that because you're putting the whole thing directly in your mouth.
Yeah.
Not the whole thing, but you know what I mean.
Well, I mean, if you eat the fish at the end of the day anyways, then what's the difference? It's all going to the same place.
I guess that's true, except, oh, I was going to say you get the chance to heat up one, but theoretically you're doing the same with cigars.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it's inadvertently cooking it at the same time.
There's a point to that, but I would be curious to know... if there's any way, you know, when it comes down to things like, you know, when you're active, when you're actually, you know, by active, I mean fishing, gardening, when you're actually
lunting,
when, when you got your hands dirty, like, can you even, I can't imagine a scenario where you would actually go for a cigar rather than a pipe, but I could be in the minority there. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just a personal thing to me. I mean, I'd do either or. The way I think about it is they're both equally enjoyed and they're both as equally inconvenient to be doing while fishing. So,
yeah, I mean, there might be something to that, but at the same time, it enhances the enjoyment of the fishing to be smoking your pipe.
No, yeah, definitely. No. It is a self-imposed inconvenience that's enjoyable.
The other thing too is, and to some extent this falls into the whole, you know, pipe versus cigar, separating the stigma, things that we've talked about in the past. But when you fall, you know, people will go to the cigar because it's more convenient and that it's not as, you know, involved. You don't have a tamp.
It's not tedious.
That's true. But at the same time, when you go for a cigar, you're kind of in it until you're, you know,
yeah, you're in it
done.
To win it.
Exactly. So you
otherwise
almost,
you're wasting like $4 or $5 worth of a cigar.
Exactly. So people talk about the convenience of the cigar because you don't have time to be fooled with.
There's pros and cons to it.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Two more cigars that I would recommend. Just
I don't know
how much more time that we have to talk. But Perdomo, they have two really great cigars that I really enjoyed when first getting into smoking cigars, and that's their bourbon barrel aged Sun Grown cigar and their bourbon barrel aged Connecticut cigar.
Mm.
The Sun Grown is a little bit darker, and it has a little bit kind of richer tones to it. It's a little bit spicier, and it has those nuances of the bourbon barrel. So it, like, it's they're really good. They're aged like 6 years, and then the bourbon barrel aged cigar, the Sun Grown is aged 10 months in a bourbon barrel, and then the Connecticut, I'm getting to get my words right, is aged for 6 years and then aged for 6 months in the bourbon barrel. But those are fantastic options. They're both mild to medium body, or the between mild to medium, between the two. And they're really good.
And that's the tobacco that's being aged prior to being rolled.
That's the wrapper.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Those ones have a particular blend of like four different, tobacco fillers, I believe, mainly from Nicaragua, if I understand correctly. But they're really good.
Man, it's good. All right. You know, the funny thing is, I know that we're going to get feedback on, when it comes to, you know, whenever we talk about pipes and cigars. You know, one of the things that we say about the show is we don't talk politics.
Right.
But I almost feel like whenever pipes and cigars come in, there's almost like a political nature.
Somebody's
going to
pop on here and be like, oh, Caleb the intern, blah, 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 blah. He's an idiot. He doesn't know what he's talking about, blah, 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 blah. I'm going to tell you right now, you're not wrong.
Well, you're learning. You know, yeah, we don't call you Caleb the expert.
Yeah. You should.
No, we call you Caleb the intern.
I call myself Caleb the expert.
Wow. Knowledge is relative. You certainly have more knowledge on this than I do, because you are, you know, you do have customers coming in asking you these types of questions and looking for the right product for wherever they are. Do you find that you have, let me ask you this. Do you find that you see more pipe smokers coming in asking about cigars, or cigar smokers coming in and asking about pipes?
I think it's about 50-50, but more so cigar smokers coming in and asking about pipes.
Yeah.
Usually pipe smokers will have been in the realm of smoking longer, and so they'll kind of have been exposed to cigars before.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of as those celebratory actions, if not a casual everyday thing. And so usually those people kind of have a feel for what they like. But if there's people who are just regular cigar smokers, they often do come in with a lot of questions about pipes, just because it's something that they haven't experienced before.
Do you see much of a conversion there in terms of cigar smokers becoming pipe smokers?
I wouldn't say too specifically.
Yeah.
Sometimes it happens, and it's not as much of a conversion as it is just kind of a maybe a 50-50 change.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it is a conversion, it's just kind of like picking up a little bit more pipe because it's cheaper, like for cost efficiency, and just kind of sticking to cigars is more celebratory, or just kind of that kind of feel or something like that.
Yeah. Well, great recommendations, Caleb. You know, the great thing is, of course, we love all aspects of kind of the premium tobacco space.
Yeah, man.
You know, I'm a big fan of cigars. I'm a big fan of pipes and pipe tobacco. And the great thing is, whenever we talk about cigars on the show, there's a pipe in particular that I always love drawing people's attention to, and that's from our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum. The Cobb cigar, man. I love the Cobb cigar. It is such a cool looking pipe, and it is so unique in that
it is
basically a corn cob pipe that is a cigar.
When I first saw it, I was like, what the heck is this little Zeppelin that I'm supposed to smoke out of?
Have you been able to smoke out of one?
I have not, but I have sold a lot of them. So apparently they're worth their salt.
Man, I got to tell you, I'm a little nervous about checking it out myself.
Really?
Well, there is something about, like, how do I even hold this correctly?
You just look like a cigar.
And it works.
I don't know.
It's packed in there.
I've never smoked it before.
Well, the great thing is they are really, really cool. Do y'all have any in stock currently?
I don't believe so.
At the moment, even at Missouri Meerschaum's website, they're out of stock. So if you are one of the lucky few who currently has one, be sure to smoke it this week. Take a picture of it. We'll retweet it out. It's a great way to let the folks at Missouri Meerschaum know you appreciate them for sponsoring the show. And check out all the wonderful products that they have. Corncobpipe.com is their website. Missouri Meerschaum, again, we thank them so much for sponsoring this show.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, man, we got a pipe question of the week this week coming in, and this is one I know that you probably hear a lot.
Okay.
And it ties directly into actually what we were talking about earlier with trying to revive dead tobacco. How do you know when pipe tobacco has gone bad?
Well, the main thing I would say is if there's mold, that's a big issue.
Oh, snap. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to smoke molded tobacco. I mean, you can and just like, remove it, but I wouldn't recommend it. Penicillin, blah, blah, blah. But also, if it's dried out, that's kind of the like, okay, check mark, this tobacco is bad. There are like off the cuff, kind of unguaranteed ways to be able to rehydrate tobacco. But with certain tobaccos, you're never going to get that original quality or that flavor even after it's dried out.
Mm.
So that's kind of the tall tale.
You know, some tobaccos just kind of come in dry though, don't they? I mean, like, you know, you open up a tin and a lot of them,
Some of them are designed to be dry, like a Kentucky Dark Fire. That is a really, really dry, really kind of, it feels almost brittle. It's so dry. But that's just what the leaf is like because of how it's cured. So like sometimes there are tobaccos that are just made that way, and it changes the feel and the flavor of the overall blend, or if it's that single tobacco in itself. So there's pros and cons to that, I guess. And it just depends on, you might like that really dry tobacco that's like 5 years old from Italy. You might not.
Likely not. So how would you differentiate between it's dry because it's supposed to be dry versus it's just gone dry?
Basically, it's what did I receive this as and what is the product like now? I had some Stonehaven actually, and people are really going to give me a hard time about this. I had some Stonehaven that I forgot about.
Oh, snap.
And so I forgot to like put some hydration in it in the jar that I was aging it in. And so when I busted it back out again, like a year later, and I smoked it. Usually, it's kind of a moist tobacco, but when I smoked it, it was real harsh, and it was just real. Like that's one of the
you wasted Stonehaven.
No. I'm getting to what happened with it.
Uh huh.
This is not the end of the story.
Okay.
It's not the end of the story. See, you're already getting mad at me. It was just it can tend to be harsher and have a lot more bite to it and burn a little bit hotter. That's been my experience. But so as a result of that, I, for like a month or two, put a little hydrator pack in it. And then I had the wise idea of soaking, and people are probably going to get mad at me for this, too. But
he's just the intern.
Yeah, no, I'm an intern. I'm very experimental. But I put some Laphroaig, I think 18 year or something like that.
Oh, interesting.
I did. I put some
Laphroaig. But with Stonehaven.
Mm-hmm, to age with it. And I have that sitting back right now. So we'll find out what that's going to be like, and I'll be sure to not tell anybody.
Interesting. Man, when you experiment...
Nobody put a hex on me for that.
Yeah, when you experiment, you don't play.
No, man.
You're the guy that like, oh, it's a dinosaur egg. Let's see what kind of omelet it makes.
Yeah, that's me.
All right, well, there you go. That's how to know whether or not your tobacco has gone bad, and perhaps what you should do if it does, or maybe shouldn't do. Yeah. But we'll check back in with you to see how your Frankenstein Stonehaven Laphroaig creature comes
along.
We'll
find out after these messages. Just kidding.
Quick fire with the Squire.
Quick fire with Jones.
Oh.
Oh, man. All right. So these quick fire questions come in from our friends at thispipelife.com. Thispipelife.com. More on them in just a moment. All right. Here we go. Jay Freedy, we are kind of continuing the list that he sent in last week. Are you ready, sir?
Dude, I'm so ready.
Pipe in the morning or pipe in the evening?
Oh, both. Oh, yes.
Hard to choose, huh?
Yeah.
You know, I am much more of a pipe in the evening kind of guy.
Yeah.
Depending on what I smoke, that smell can kind of stay with me all day.
Yeah.
And depending on what I smoke, I may like that or I may hate it.
See, I like if I'm granted the ability to smoke at both times, I really enjoy like a really crisp kind of like Virginia in the morning.
Yeah.
It's really good with like a really bright cup of coffee. And then later in the evening, something along the lines of Latakia, like real smoky and savory, kind of sits really nicely after dinner.
Oh, man. Yeah, just the defining, like, the pipe with a cup of coffee. I know we've talked about it on the show before.
Oh, so but good.
I think I've only ever been able to enjoy that once in my life, just because I normally, you know, enjoy.
Stop depriving yourself. Bro.
Well, you know, I like a little brown water with mine. That too. All right. We've also got next. We got Burks or Chacos.
Chacos.
All right. So
I don't know what the heck a Burk is.
Birkenstocks.
Oh.
Birkenstocks were the leathery type.
Yeah,
shoe.
I've seen those. I think my fiance has some.
Okay, and the Chocs are like the big like SpongeBob shoes.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're like my favorite.
I've never understood the appeal.
All the time.
Why?
No, they look ugly as sin. Yeah. But they're really comfortable, and you can wear them all. I've had mine. Like, I can't make a pair of shoes last like more than 6 months. Usually, I've had my Chacos for like 3 years.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
I mean, Chacos are. I mean, they're meant to be like underwater type.
Yeah,
situation.
It's a rugged shoe. I took him to India, and that's like all I wore in India.
Wow. And
Chacos.
Interesting. Okay. See, this is my thing about Chacos. I've never really associated them with like actual shoes. They just seem like glorified shower shoes.
Yeah, it's just rubber with straps.
Exactly. All right. So you're going Chacos. I'll go Birkenstocks.
Yeah, man. Tires for your feet.
Here we go. Hat or cap?
Oh.
You've got a glorious halo of hair that you've got.
None really fit on me right now.
Yeah.
So neither at the moment. But if I had to choose hat versus cap, probably. Okay, define a cap.
A cap is what I normally wear. It's kind of what I'm known for wearing.
Yeah, like your little messenger boy thing.
Yeah, newsy cap.
Yeah. Probably a cap.
Right.
Yeah, man.
I mean, I've got to go cap all the way.
Yeah, man.
You know, I've been known from occasion to rock like a bowler cap. Well, that's what does a bowler hat?
It's a bowler hat.
Yeah, it's a bowler hat.
It's a hat.
So I've got one of those that I'll rock for you know, Celtic Fest and that kind of thing, and on the occasion. But no, I'm known for my cap, and I will continue to be so. All right, thinker or feeler?
What
in terms of your temperament?
What are you trying to ask?
All right. Are you someone who thinks a problem through or feels your way through a problem? You know what I mean? Like, is it a gut thing or is it a brain thing?
Oh, definitely a brain thing.
Yeah?
Yep. I'm super logical. It hurts.
I'm a bit of both. I sometimes feel like I overthink things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I try to, it really depends on what the situation is though.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, now I'm thinking, I might do both a little bit. I'm kind of like in the middle of everything, if you haven't noticed. But but more so on the side of like thinking
about
it. Like,
thoughtful for it, yeah.
Yeah. If A plus B equals C, then D. That's like how my mind works.
Fair enough. I definitely kind of fall in both, but if I had to lean one way, it's probably feeler.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are things that I think way too hard on, but at the same time, I'd probably... would be right there in the middle with you, just leaning a little bit in the opposite direction.
Oh, I know. I played D&D with you.
Well, hang on now.
Definitely a feeler.
Yeah. Well, I was going for the gut, man.
Yeah, man.
Jorvik.
There's nothing wrong with that.
All praise be to Helm. Like, yeah, I was rocking it.
Yeah, dude.
And now I'm a rock.
Now you're a rock.
Yeah. All right. And here we go.
That's
finally,
what you get for following your gut.
Finally, we got fall or spring.
Ooh, fall. Super fall.
All the way.
Yeah, man.
Fall is, I think, definitively the pipe smoker's month.
Oh, yes.
I mean, you smoke your pipe year-round, but like...
Well, fall's a little bit longer than a month.
It's the pipe smoker's season. October is the pipe smoker's month. Fall is the pipe smoker's season, in my opinion. I mean, because this, like, when the weather
totally
starts getting
now,
oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's cool outside, but it's not too hot, not too cold. Get your pipe out, watch the leaves turn.
Yeah, the colors and the atmosphere of nature.
There's not a pumpkin spice pipe yet. Like, or a pumpkin spice pipe tobacco, is there?
I'm not the person to ask that question because I will never make that.
Yeah, you know, I don't know.
I've been a barista for too long for that to be a thing.
Right. Right. Well, you know, as I say that, I do remember like this Ichabod pipe tobacco that I actually had in Vegas once that I think did have some pumpkin spice in it. It's seasonal and it's kind of a Halloween era spice, but it was surprisingly delicious.
That might be good.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like to push forth the pumpkin spice trend that we see going on right now. I think that's detrimental to civilization as a whole. However,
I agree.
However, in certain contexts, It can be quite
the
pleasant.
Demoralizing of American culture.
Fall overall. Fall overall when it comes to pipe smoking and just in general, just a beautiful, beautiful season. All right. Well, great quick fire questions. Again, that comes from Jay Freedy over at thispipelife.com. Now, hey, if you've not checked out thispipelife.com yet, you absolutely should. Go to thispipelife.com, and when you register, use the code CSR. It lets them know you heard about it on this show. Not only do you get a chance to get involved and kind of get connected with other pipe smokers around the globe, but you also get a really awesome visual experience. It is definitely a online community that's built for the modern day.
Visual.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know how it is. Sometimes you go to, and I'm not going to name any names or anything like that.
Let's
but,
not.
But sometimes you go to, like, you know, some long-running pipe shops. You go to their website, and you're like, hey, the 90s called. Maybe
they want their website
back. That is not thispipelife.com.
Maybe
man.
A picture without some black words and like blue links.
Yeah. With the, and the flashing you know, fire, you know, GIF and everything else. It's like, all right. I'm telling you, man.
Little fire GIF.
Little sprites and everything. Yeah, just it's, you know who you are. And by the way, I know people. Call me up. I will hook you
he
up.
He knows who you are.
Yeah, well, I'll you know who you are. You know who you are.
Oh, but he'll hook you up.
I'll hook you up, man.
He knows a guy.
I know.
He knows a couple of guys.
Look, don't even call me. Just call Pylorns directly. Pylorns is known for like modernizing like the pipe community when it comes to online. But all that to say, thispipelife.com, they know what they're doing. You can check it out, thispipelife.com. Again, use the code CSR when you register at thispipelife.com.
.com.
Your thoughts, your comments. Listener feedback.
Listener feedback this week, man. We got some great listener feedback.
Ooh, tell me about it.
Well, how about you tell me about it? We got James Hargreaves? Hagrid. Hagrid is from Harry Potter.
Hargreaves.
James H. writes in. What did James have to say?
Hello there. My name is James Hargreaves. I've been listening to your back episodes. Just listened to the episode about the White Rose blend. I'm from a place called Colne in Lancashire, England. Wow.
Oh, I know Lancashire.
Really?
Yeah. I also know Yorkshire. Keep going.
I'm sure you do. I'd just like to say Lancashire rocks. Yorkshire is probably only 10 or 15 miles from Colne. We have her healthy...
A healthy
rivalry. Okay. I know pipe smokers from Yorkshire that I have met up with from time to time. We always have a good laugh. Love the show. Only just started listening. Been pipe smoking about 5 years. All the best, James. P.S. Lancashire. La 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 Lancashire. La 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 la.
All right. So James, you know, I think it's you know, obviously we want to send our you know, regrets that you found yourself living in a land that, whose name represents so much tragedy and turmoil for the.
I really liked you rubbing that whole Lancashire thing in Beau's face at the end of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Did you like that? Yeah, no, man. Of course. No, Lancashire, when I was in London.
Sorry if I totally butchered that, by the way.
When I was in London, of course, a lot of buildings, a lot of streets are all named after Lancasters. Also, a lot of buildings, a lot of streets named after the Yorks as well. War of the Roses, you know, it was a thing. And, you know, what I love is he's absolutely true. Lancaster and York continue to have kind of a fun, healthy rivalry.
It's like a sibling rivalry.
It's probably even more casual
which
than
one's,
a sibling.
Which one's the older sibling, though?
Well, I mean, technically speaking, I guess that would be the Yorks. You know what? I'm just going to say the Yorks.
Oh, okay.
Although it's probably the Lancasters.
He doesn't know.
It's. I mean, like, it depends. You want to go in terms of, like who should be the big brother? Because that's really what the War of the Roses is all about.
Of course you're going to win that one, because you're the only one here. I'm sure James would have a different opinion.
No, not at all, man. No, actually, I did some back and forth with James on Facebook, and I was like, man, you know, we got the Lancaster here, we got the White Rose. If you guys have got kind of a pipe-smoking, you know, group that actually meets up from Yorkshire
That'd
and Lancashire, like, y'all need to get that together and smoke that. So I know you reached out to John David. Hopefully they were able to work out all the shipping details, but man, next time I go to like to London, to England in general, because I know I want to do some traveling. I plan on actually going to Yorkshire, which I wasn't able to do last time. But I would love to hook up with the pipe communities of you know the communal not War of the Roses, because obviously this is like the post War of the Roses,
right?
The Peace of the Roses,
more post war era.
Yeah, it's a Peace of the Roses.
Yeah, was there a treaty?
Well, it was a marriage, you know.
Same difference. It's all paperwork.
Yeah. Anyway, We all lost it to the Scots anyway, but that's a whole nother thing. By the way, the Scottish, we lost it to my on my grandmother's side of the family. I've got claim on that end, but that's a whole nother. That's
for our other podcast.
Yeah, that's another podcast. Anyway, so one way or the other, man, thanks so much for writing in, James. And man, thanks so much for the shout out. I'm glad that's the great thing. Our England, our British listeners probably appreciate the War of the Roses references more so than anybody else. So y'all are
probably
awesome. All right, I also got in a review on iTunes as well from Bulldog Nation. Obviously, somebody who goes to school in Oxford, Mississippi. What did Bulldog Nation have to say?
Great show. I love y'all's show as a young guy. This is a great show to learn to properly smoke a pipe and the culture about it.
All right. Five stars.
Accurate.
Yeah, five-star reviews from Bulldog Nation.
Thanks, man.
Of course, I'd be remiss if I did not say, of course, it's got to be a reference to Starkville, although there are other Bulldogs in the SEC.
I'm not a football. I do know Starkville, like, go Dogs.
Yeah. Well, we're down here in Mississippi. If you say Bulldog Nation, we're assuming that you're talking about Starkville.
I'm pretty sure that that's just kind of like anywhere.
But no, I mean, there's other Bulldogs, right?
Is there?
Isn't it like go Dogs? That's a thing elsewhere.
I don't think so.
Oh, we're going to get flack if we're wrong.
I mean,
send all. Okay,
I grew up in Washington State and I heard that and I knew. Granted, my dad went to state, but.
There you go. And when you say state, you, of course, mean Mississippi State.
Yeah, Mississippi State.
Yeah. Well, all right. So here's the deal. If we're wrong, correct us. Send all feedback.
No. Just let us live in our ignorance. Wonderful.
Send all feedback on everything we got wrong about cigars, Bulldogs, and you know what? What the heck? War of the Roses as well. Yeah. Send that in to Caleb the intern at countrysquireradio.com.
Yeah.
And we'll tell
Bo what for through my hashtag.
Well, Caleb, we really appreciate you being on the show. You know, is there anything you'd like to share in terms of overall? I mean, what would you say you've learned in the time since last you've been on the show? What has been the biggest takeaway in your time at the Country Squire thus far?
Man, I got no idea. Just it has really nothing to do with the Country Squire, but just like time management, which actually has a lot to do with the Country Squire.
Yeah.
Just being able, we've been super busy these past like month or two, which is crazy to think about and is awesome because these are typically the slowest months of the year, but we've been super busy. But for me, just getting like back into school, like in a really just crazy routine of working two jobs and stuff like that. So just time management is of the essence and important. And in the workplace, it just kind of forces you into a position of doing things a lot more efficiently and effectively. So that's just kind of like business 101 things that I've been learning.
Gotcha. And do you have any new blends on the horizon?
I do. I actually, and I'm not going to say anything more about it, I might get some flack from John David from this, but I have an English blend that I've been working on.
What?
Pure English blend.
All right. So look more for more information about
that.
That's
some good stuff. I'll tell you that too.
Do you have an ETA on when it might be dropping?
I did, but I forgot.
Okay. That time management is so crucial.
Oh, yeah.
So crucial.
Oh, yeah. I have a calendar now. It's so weird. I've never kept a calendar.
Oh, my gosh. You're so young.
I hate it so much.
Oh, Caleb. All right. Where can people keep up with you and what you got going on?
I guess on my Instagram. It's SirCarib. Sir_Carib. That's really the only thing I kind of post on, and even at that, I'm really bad at it.
All right. Fair enough.
But that's where you can find me.
Good,
I'm doing
good
stuff.
Well, of course, you can find us on the show as well. You can follow us at Squire Radio is the show's account. You can follow the shop at _CountrySquire. Also, you can keep up with me and John David as well. I'm at The Real Bo York. He's at John David Cole. And all that information and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. Where we will be returning next week live at 6:30 p.m. Pacific, 9:30 Eastern, and of course, 8:30 Central. So at our normal hours, Monday nights, looking forward to coming back live and hearing what all John David has done and all of his John Davidness.
Visual.
Maybe he's had a haircut by then.
I doubt it.
Yeah. Should we take bets?
I'm not a betting man.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I have just terrible luck.
I
have the luck of the Irish, but it's not the good kind.
I have a feeling that when next we see John David, he may have a haircut, but tune in next week live.
You have an inside man, don't you?
Tune in next week live so you can find out.
You're about to hustle me.
For yourself at CountrySquireRadio.com. Caleb, man, always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure, bro. Yeah. I feel the same way.
When we play in D&D again?
I don't know, man.
All right, we got to get that worked out.
We do.
All right. Because I got to get my character to not be in
be
Stallone.
A rock anymore.
He was turned into a rock.
Yeah, man.
We got to change that.
We got to fix it.
All right. Well, hey, let's go have a day.
All right.
Listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.